in his sling. And you can just about see David as he began to wind up his sling. And then he slung that stone at Goliath. And that stone hit him directly between the eyes and sinks into his forehead. And the bullet is dead even before it hit the ground. And to be sure, David runs to that fallen body of the bully, and he draws Goliath's sword and cut off the bully's head. And the Israelite soldiers, inspired by David's faith and courage, joined the battle, and they began to pursue the Philistines. And so David walks off the battlefield with the bully's sword in one hand and the bully's head in the other, according to verse 54. Oh, my brothers and sisters, what a victory. And so as I try to move to the close, y'all just try to stay with me now. I know you're getting drowsy. What was it that made this victory possible? It was David's ability. Was it David's ability with a sling? Was it David's power? Or was it his skill as a warrior? No, but the secret to David's success, I heard somebody say, was his faith. His faith in the Lord. David believed in God handed David the victory, because in the same way, we will never defeat our bullies in our own power. And so we need not even try. But we can and will defeat them through the power of faith, by putting our bullies in the hands of God and by trusting him to give us the victory over them all. Because faith in God is the key to victory in all the battles we face in life with our bullies. Well, how do I know that is God's will for bullies to be defeated? Because the Bible says in John 8:36, he said, if the Son therefore makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Because the Lord didn't save us to be defeated in hell and bondage by bullies, but he saved us to set us free to live a new life of victory for the glory of God. It worked for David, and I tell you, it will work for you. So in closing, whatever or whoever the bullies may be in your life, I tell you, you need to get some courage, and you need to step out on faith and face that bully, yes, that's in your life. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Ain't God all right? I'm talking about Jesus, the one who hung, bled, and died on an old rugged cross. Jesus, yes, the one who laid in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. And I'm imagining in my mind, when Jesus was in the grave, Satan was laughing, him and his demons was having a good time, because they believed that they had defeated our Lord. But Jesus' body laid and stayed in the grave, but his spirit went down in the hell, and he took the keys away from the devil. And the Bible says that the dead began to walk the street. Ain't God all right? And bright early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Yes, he defeated old Satan, that bully that's always bullying you and me. But if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, I tell you, he will direct your path. Yes, we have problems many times with bullies everywhere. There's bullies in the church. There's bullies in the home. There's bullies in the school. But that's all right. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Ain't God all right? Yes, he's all right. Yeah. Amen. Don't let your bullies control your life. Amen. Stand up for what's right. Don't be afraid to stand up for what's right. You don't care what the bully think. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to let the Lord use you, no matter what a bully thinks. Because bullies are there just to intimidate you. But you can overcome any bully. Amen. In the power of faith. Hello. In the name of Jesus.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Jodera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's zionhill.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
Now, if you have your Bible with you, I just want to tell a story this morning. And every story in the Word of God has spiritual implication. So my assignment is not just to tell you the story, but to point out some spiritual values. So that's what you really need to watch out for, the theological implication. Hey, that's my girl from Savior. You're home. Praise the Lord. That's one of them, Wilson. Amen. You know, one of my greatest joy is to watch all these kids. Some of them, they were born right here under my ministry. I've been here 28 years, so I watched them grow up. You see how impactful that is. I watched them take their first step. And I watched them kindergarten, elementary, high school. Now they're all in college. Some of them have graduated and doing great things. Glad to see you. She told me, I want to be a doctor. I said, you can do it, baby. Let's go. Let's go make some money. That's, yes, I said it. somebody needs it. The book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 11. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15, verse 11. The Word of God says, and he said, he is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. That's it. Lord, I thank you for the word of God. Grass may wither, flowers may fade, but your word will stand forever. Thank you for understanding this morning. Thank you for the anointing to preach and explain the word of God. Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You said when we seek the peace of Jerusalem, we will find peace also. Lord, we pray for your covering over that nation. Lord, you said when we bless Israel, we're going to be blessed also. We receive that anointing right now. Holy Spirit, glorify yourself in this house. In Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject for discussion is titled, The Parable of the Prodigal Son. Permit me to add, it is also the parable of prodigal daughters. It is a story that Jesus told to teach you and me a lesson. One day, Jesus Christ was hanging out with a bunch of sinners. In that company, he had some tax collectors. He had some prostitutes, people who are jacked up, people who are messed up. And he was having dinner with them. That's a sermon by itself. Many of you will even criticize a preacher. When you see them, we shriek people. But how are you going to reach them if you don't hang out with them? Jesus was hanging out with all these people. And the Pharisees and the scribes, translation church folks, they saw a preacher having lunch, having dinner with prostitutes and sinners. They said, that ain't right. See, not much has changed, isn't it? So they accused Jesus of not being a true preacher. They say he must be fake. If he were real, he would not be hanging out with this kind of people. So Jesus told three stories to answer his critics that what he was doing was all right. If you remember in the Word of God, the three stories he told them the story of a lost sheep. He told them the story of a lost coin. That's the second story. And then he told them the story of a lost son. That lost son is what we now call the prodigal son. What Jesus is trying to tell them, ladies and gentlemen, is that these people were lost, and I'm here to find lost sheep. And he's telling them, if you lose a sheep, will you not look for it? He's asking that if you lose a coin, you lose money in the house. I've been there. I thought my wife took it. Mm-hmm. Many of you can relate to that. My wife told me, yes, I'll take it and I'll spend it. But when you misplace your money, you look for it all day. Can I get a witness in the house? So Jesus is saying, you call these people hookers. You call them lowdown. You call them sinners, prostitutes. But these are my lost sheep. And the reason why I'm hanging out with them is because all of heaven rejoice when one lost sheep is found. So I will not have time to talk about each of those three stories today. I want you to zoom in on the last story about lost son. And basically, he said, here's how it goes. He said, there was a man who had two sons. So in Jesus' story, there are three actors.
Come on, sir.
The father, the younger son, and the older son. Am I still in the book? Now, before I go on with this story, you need to know that under the laws, the Jewish laws, when that father died, then the children will have his inheritance. And the way they structure things is that the older son gets a double portion. And then the rest of the children will split what is left. That's the way their system works. Ladies and gentlemen, then this story goes on to say the younger son show up one day and say, Pop, I want my share of the inheritance. I cannot afford to wait until you die. I want my portion right now. It means give me what I would if you were dead. I can stop there and preach to you because my assignment is to point out the spiritual implications from this story. The problem here is that today we are living in a generation that are very impatient. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That young man is unwilling to wait until daddy died. He said, I want what is mine now. The number one problem in America today is this microwave mentality. I want what is mine now. I don't want to wait until I'm old. I want some money now. I want some sex now. And nobody shouts now. There is something we call delay gratification. There is time for everything. But we live in a generation, oh no, I don't want to wait. Here you 14-year-old, I have a girlfriend. Really? You ain't got no job. I'm trying to help some parents now because you are part of the problem too. Amen. You ought to love those children now and say, baby, sit down. How you gonna have a girlfriend? I have a boyfriend. And then you wanna be rubbing on each other and you ain't got no job. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why we're in such a mess right now. Many of you adults, you're messed up on credit. Instead of save up your money and wait till the time you can afford it, you want it now. If you open your purse now, it's full of credit cards. I wish the Holy Ghost would give me permission to empty everything and throw it in the trash. There's something called timing. And God's time is the best. Because we want everything now, 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 we are messing up our society. The Center for Disease Control, I was Googling and doing some research as I prepared for this sermon. They were telling us, as of in the 70s, only 28% of high school students were sexually active. Today, we have doubled and tripled that number. Kids in high school. Somebody said middle school too. Then you see 12-year-old, 14-year-old having a baby. Somebody needs to preach this gospel. That's why we have young people now on the streets. That's why the jailhouse is getting filled up with young people. That's why we're having all these runaways from home. A generation that says, I got to have it now. There's a generation called Generation Z. You know, today's Youth Sunday, so I got to come down to their level. Ladies and gentlemen, these are generation that want daddy's things, but they don't want daddy. They want what God provides, but they don't want God. That's why they don't come to church. But every blessing that God has to offer, they want that. Ladies and gentlemen, please notice one thing about this story. This blows my mind. And I had to repent reading the story because the Bible says the father gave that young man his portion. I just imagine if that was my house. And one of those children of mine say, I want mine now. I will call him. I'll use some language so colorful. Y'all will read about me on the news. But the father didn't do like your pastor would do. So that got my attention. Why would the father listen to this little rascal and give him his portion? There's a lesson there because love that is real have to be willing to let go. There's a lesson for every one of you that are married here. The reason why you're struggling in your relationship is you are hovering over your spouse. Where have you been? Where are you going? Who are you talking to? See, you will never have peace. Love that is real must be willing to let go. Who is getting mighty quiet now? That father was willing. He knows. The father knows that this young man is fixing to get himself in trouble. But true love would let go. Many of you, the reason why your children cannot really function to the extent God wants them is because you are like an helicopter. You're hovering over them. They can't breathe. They can't move. I had to repent. I said, Lord, now I see why. Because that story, the father is symbolic of God himself. And I couldn't deal with the fact that God will know a rascal is talking to him and he will give that rascal his portion. You want your marriage to prosper? Release that woman. I've been wondering, where's my wife? Where's she been? What's he doing? Who's she talking to? And you women too. Mm-hmm. Where have you been? I thought you finished work at 5 p.m. So I'm a grown man. Oh, he's mighty quiet now. See, that's when you know when you're telling the truth. He gave him his portion. If you don't believe me, check with the eagles. Eagles don't hover over their children for long. Eagle will push that eaglet out. Go out there and learn some valuable lessons of life. The Bible said that young man got his portion, and in a few days said, I'm out of here. He traveled to a far country. That's another sermon. Some of your children can't wait to graduate from high school. They're going to Chicago. Pastor, I'm moving to New York. New York, I'm a New Yorker. This central Louisiana is just too small for me. Really? What do you know? Where have you been in your life? This young man took up, and the Bible said when he got to Chicago or wherever he went, New York, California, he began to live what the Bible described as a riotous living. Am I still in the book? In case you don't know what that means, it means homeboy start partying. Homeboy start clubbing. Homeboy start drinking. Homeboy start smoking. Homeboy start drugging. Homeboy start shooting up. No boundaries. Now you see what the problem is in our society today. We're raising children and we're setting no boundaries. They can do anything they want to do. They can run wild and you're paying the bills. I have to point out to you, there are some of you that are looking good. You're in your 50s, you're in your 60s. You know why you're looking good in your 60s? Because when you were young, you did not live a riotous life. I want your children to hear that. I want them to know, if you play by the rules, in your 60s, you'll still be looking good. In your 70s, you'll still be looking good. Amen, somebody. When you don't spend your youthful days smoking weeds, ladies and gentlemen, the truth be told, if you take care of yourself while you are young, when you get old, you will still be looking good. Now, don't call me now if you're looking ugly. Ain't my fault. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why the Bible, it's amazing how simple the Bible is. This is why the Bible says, remember your Creator while you are still young. Some of you young people say, I'm too old for that. I ain't going to no choir to sing. I'm too old. You need God. Remember the Creator while you are young. Those that fail to do that, you see them now, they're wobbling. (Clears Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said this young man wasted every blessing he was given. All the inheritance he had, he liquidated everything to cash, went out of town, and wasted it all. Do you know you will always have friends when you got money? The Bible said he wasted all. And that's the problem with many of us right now. You're wasting your blessings. You're wasting your miracles. You're wasting the favor of God upon your life. But after he spent everything, his so-called friend disappeared. All the prostitutes that he was sleeping with, nobody wants to sleep with him now. Oh, I'm preaching good today. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says it was so bad, he lost his money, he lost his friend, he lost all the network that he has. Then, to add more to the trouble, there was famine in the land. Now he's hungry, and he had to take a job among the swines. I wish I have time to preach on that. There's a whole theology about a Jewish boy hanging out with hogs. That's a no-no for a Jewish person. But that's for another day. I do want you to know in verse 17 of Luke chapter 15, the Bible says he came to himself. That is very, very important. In other words, he came to his senses. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very important that you and me come to our senses. One thing I love about this young man, he wasn't making excuses for his mistake. He wasn't trying to justify his mistake. He wasn't trying to rationalize what happened in his life. The message to you and me today, you can come to your senses. I don't care how messed up you've been. I don't care how messed up I am. You and me, we can come to ourselves. How do you do that? That's my assignment today. You need to know how you come to yourself. You need to find a place and ask yourself honest questions. When nobody's looking, when nobody's watching, you have to ask some honest questions in your life. Why is it that you are married for the fifth time and it's still not working? You got to ask yourself some serious, honest questions. You can be blaming everybody. Where is the church people? Where is the white folks? Where is the black folks? Is the Mexican? You're tripping. Amen. But you will come to yourself when you can sit down and ask some real, honest questions. Why is it that I'm raising three boys and all of them end up being beggars? Why is it that God give me a vision and I can't see none of them materialize? Honest question. You know, it's easy to blame others for your problem. This boy, he could have blamed his friends. And see, I lost all my money because all these blank people, they messed me up. He could have blamed all the prostitutes. Yeah, those women took all my money. But he didn't do that. If you don't hear anything else in this message, please grab hold of that. All of us, even your pastor, every one of us, we need to come to ourselves. That means you take personal responsibility Stop blaming others. It's not your uncle. It's not your parents. It's not your school teacher. If you fail, you fail. You flunk the test. Ask yourself some serious, honest question. You know what I'm trying to tell you? Regardless of what you may lose in life, never lose sincerity. You cannot learn that in school. Sometimes in my own family, I have to tell us, no, don't justify, don't make excuses for me. I screwed up. That was my fault. I could do better. Don't lose your sincerity. Don't look at yourself in the mirror and lie to yourself. Ask yourself some honest question. Why is it that my ministry is not growing? You've been pastoring since 1902, and you still have the same 10 members. Hey, don't turn me off. You got to ask yourself some honest question. What is it that is holding up the growth of this church? What is it that is holding up the growth of this family? Why is it that every marriage in this house is not working? That's how you come to your save. I have to be honest with you, God never deliver a person that has a hardened heart. God never deliver a person that is arrogant, self-righteous. Some of us, we're not that holy. The reason why God is blessing us is because we are honest with ourselves. David was not a perfect person, Reverend. David was a murderer. David was an adulterer. David will curse you out if you mess with him. But his heart is right. David, every time he screw up, he will come to himself. Say, Lord, I messed up. Forgive me, Lord. Create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Notice what this boy did. When he came to himself, he said, no, I'm better than this. I came from a home where mom and dad is doing well. Here I find myself among hogs. I'm going home. If I have to tell my dad, I'm sorry, so be it. In fact, I would tell my dad, I'm not even worthy to be called your son anymore. Just make me one of your servants. Being a servant in my home is better than being here in Los Angeles. I will arise. I'm not going to stay in self-pity. I will arise. And somebody here today, you need to arise. Stop blaming others. I will arise. I'm not going to be trying to blame the system, blame the government. I will arise. The people of this world may forsake me, but I will arise. My money may be funny, but I will arise. My credit may be jacked up. Pastor, I will arise. I will try again. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but all of heaven is waiting for you to get up, and arise. That's what this young man did. Don't worry about who is laughing at you. Come to yourself and arise. Amen. He even practiced his speech. What he's going to say when he got home. Ladies and gentlemen, but notice the change in this young man. He started out his life talking to daddy, give me, give me. Now he changes his speech. He's now saying, make me. There's a huge difference between the two. All of us need to get to that point in our life. When it's not no more about just give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. Say, Lord, make me. He's saying, I've messed up. I don't deserve to be called your children. I don't deserve to be reinstated. Just make me one of your servants. But notice how this story ends. The Bible says the father, while he was gone, the father was waiting. Oh, I wish I have time to break that now, because you need to know you serve a God who is not waiting to judge you, who is not waiting to condemn you, who is waiting to receive you back and to love on you and to give you another chance. Somebody shout amen. God is waiting for you and me to come back home. But before you can come back home, first and foremost, you have to come to yourself. Before you can come back home, secondly, you have to repent. You have to change from give me to make me. Are you all still here this morning? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said, the father saw him afar off. Oh, I wish I'm an actor. I can really put on a show in this one. The Bible said the father saw his son afar off. And then he ran. Oh, I wish you all are theologians. Fathers don't run in the Jewish culture. A servant may have to run. Sons and daughters may have to run. Mama may have to run. But the father is a pillar of the family. But look at the love of the father. He broke every protocol. The Bible said, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. This father ran. He ran towards this man. He said, look, my son was dead. Now he's alive. He said, my son was lost. Now he's found. Notice what he did. He kissed him. He hugged him. He gave instruction to everybody. He said, look at my son. This is not my son. Get him some dress. Get him a ring. Oh, I wish I have time to. That's a whole sermon by itself. The ring is not just a ring. It means something. Get him some shoes to wear. And all of us here today, we're in a position to be received back by our father. The only question is, are you willing to admit this morning that you are lost? Are you willing to admit this morning that you're a sinner? Are you willing to admit this morning that you messed up? Are you willing to repent? The good news is that if you come home, you will not find a daddy that is hateful. You'll find a daddy that loves you, that wants to receive you. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, now I got to end on this note. The Bible said the elder brother, heard some music, because daddy said, let's party. Let's celebrate. Then the elder brother heard the music and said, what is going on in the house? And they told him, there's a lesson from that brother, good and bad. Ladies and gentlemen, that elder brother, notice, he stayed home. He followed the rules. I can stop there and preach. Because young people, you need to learn to stay home. You don't need to run away from home. You don't need to be like the younger brother. Home may not be the most perfect atmosphere, but thank God you have a mama. Thank God you have a daddy. You think they're hard on you right now, but when you grow up, you will look back and say thank you.
Yes, sir.
Amen, somebody. That's the good side of this brother. But the bad side is that when he heard that his younger brother is being celebrated, he got upset about it. See, there are many of us like that older brother. You are in church today. And I'm happy you are in church. Not everybody smoking weeds. Not everybody partying all night. Not everybody have been on drugs. Not everybody. There are many of you here. You've been in church all your life. You go to Sunday school. You sing in the choir. You do BTU, WMU, you do all kinds of things. You know nothing about staying drunk. You know nothing about roach. You know nothing about getting high. You know nothing about crack. You know nothing about pot. And I'm happy for you. But yet, even though you're in church, your heart ain't right. Even though you're in church, you're full of hate. Even though you're in church, you are trying to play a hater. How do I know? This old son, even though he was playing by the rule, when that young man come back to Christ, he was hating. And that's the problem with many of you church folks. When somebody has struck out for too long, now he's on the right road. Instead of you to rejoice with that, instead of you to celebrate that, you roll in your eyes. So both of these children were lost. Not only the one that went on the street, that went a far country, you can be in the church and be lost. You can be in the church and be full of anger and full of envy and full of jealousy. Since that girl comes to church, now she got a ring. She finally found a man. You are unhappy about it. All of us need to repent today. I'm going to ask every one of us to stand to our feet. Notice what this man said. He invited both of them to come home. The one that is on the street, he said, come home. The one that is at home hating, he said, come to the party. Everybody needs to come back to home. I don't know about you. Ain't nothing good out there. There's no place like home. At home, you find joy. Am I right about it? At your father's home, you find peace of mind. At your father's home, you find love. Don't let the devil keep you on the street. We all need to come home. The choice is yours and mine this morning. I don't know whether you fit the bill for that child that's been on the street for so long. I don't know whether you fit the bill for that child who's never been on the street, who is always clean, who is always in church, but yet in your heart you know something ain't right. I want to open the door of the church. I don't know about you. The Father is inviting me to come home. There's party going on in the house. I'm not going to stay out. I'm going in and join the party. Amen. Too many of us, we come into church, but we never enjoy church because something is right on the inside. But today, we all can come home. How will you know, Brother Pastor, when you come to church, we can't get you to say amen. We can't get you to say thank you, Jesus. We can't get you to say hallelujah. Can't get you to sing, can't get you to shout. See, yes, you are in the house, but something ain't right. So this invitation is for all of us. And maybe somebody's here today, you just want to stand in the gap for your loved one, for your children, your grandchildren. You know, like the prodigal son, something is not right. You got to love them enough. If you're that man, if you're that woman, find your way to the altar right now. I know you're doing well, but all of us need the touch of the Master. It was the Lord that's been blessing you. That same God, you need it for your children. Somebody else is coming. Come to Jesus. Somebody next to you, hold their hands. I want us to pray. I never will forget a time came for me to do just exactly what some of you are doing this morning. I came to myself. I asked myself some honest questions. Say, son of man, is this the best of God you can have? And the Holy Spirit began to expose myself to myself. I said, no, I'm better than this. That same God is your God. He will clean you. He will wash you. He will make a way. Some of you are standing in the gap for your children. Some of you are standing before this altar for your grandchildren. Some of you, you're here believing God for your miracle. Yes, God said, I'll do it for you. The first step. We have to come to ourselves. And Father God, we thank you. Thank you that you care for sinners like me. You care for the lowdown. You care for the lost. Thank you, oh God, that you are God of another chance. Lord, you know the purpose for which we are standing before this altar.
Yeah, you do.
Lord, I pray that you will grant everyone the desires of their heart. Somebody is believing God for their miracles. Somebody is believing God for their children. Somebody is believing God for their vision, their dreams, oh God. The things that are impossible with men, they are possible with God. Lord, I thank you that we all can say today, we're coming home. We wasted too many precious time. Lord, we are coming home. Everything is all right in our Father's house. Joy, peace, and happiness in our Father's house. Lord, I pray that you will grant us that peace. Peace on our job. Peace in our marriage. Peace in our home. Have your way in our life, oh God. We lift up every one of our children. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. By faith, we decree and we declare this morning, it is well with them. It is well with our children. It is well with our grandchildren. Wherever they are located, whatever they are doing right now, we cover them with the blood of Jesus. All is well. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And amen. Come on, give the Lord God a clap of. I want to thank every one of you for praying with me this morning. Thank you for your willingness to walk through the Bible. I had to do that for the sake of little kids. And I thank you for your willingness to learn. If you are here this morning, you're looking for a church home. After the benediction, I ask you to please come forward. Pastor Jones, will you please come and pray his last prayer for all of us. This man of God is a good example of what I'm preaching about today. That God can give you and me another chance. Amen. And I'm proud of you, sir. I don't always tell you, but I'm proud of you. All of heaven rejoice when we come home. I had to do it. Ain't no shame in my game. And I'm still doing it, Pastor. Because I'm still under construction. Ain't no shame in my game. But nothing is too hard for God.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Jordera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church family.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Oh, we can do better than that. Good morning, Zion Hill. And good morning to you all on social media. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Anybody got a praise on their lips this morning? Put your hands together like this. We've come to lift up the name of Jesus. Yeah.